welcome once again to a Rockin' Podcast. I guess this is the first official podcast under the title of The Fastest 40 Minutes in Podcasting, since that was the one that won the poll last week. Once again, this is Bill. Once again, Ross and Seth are both out, so I had to recruit some. I had to recruit a ringer here. We've got Spencer Kane with us, known to the outside world as Spencer Kane, known to Rock and Nation as Sleepy Floyd. Seven, is it seven?
That's right. Okay. Yes, seven. Glad to be a part of the fastest 40 minutes of podcasting.
And that doesn't mean we actually have to do this for 40 minutes, but
well, it's because it's faster, right?
Well, right. Yeah, it'll seem like five no matter what. So we are speaking on the eve of the NCAA tournament, the first NCAA tournament to include the Missouri Tigers since my wife and I had been dating for about 2 weeks.
Right. How about that?
Yeah, and she grew up in Carbondale, and so it was really kind of an awkward start to the relationship since she was rooting for SIU the last time. So I'm glad to have a nice fresh start 6 years later.
Well, I've only been here in Columbia for the last, I guess, almost 4 years. So this is my first time as an honest-to-goodness Mizzou fan. I mean, I've been following the teams since I've been here and really dived in full bore when I started doing the sports show. But, this is the first time that I've gotten to follow this team as an honest-to-goodness black and gold fan. And I'm ready to go. I got some sparkly new black and gold dancing shoes.
Actually, I have some black and gold Pumas. I've been waiting to, it's pretty
nice.
They're hideous. They're awesome. So I guess since we have the opportunity to gush about Missouri in a podcast, we have to take advantage of it. And being that they just won their first Big 12 tournaments in what, 16 years, I think, since 93? We should probably talk about it. What were your general thoughts about the weekend? Just how everything unfolded, how they ended up winning it?
Well, that's... The script that was laid out probably wasn't the best script that could have laid out for the Missouri Tigers winning it. You would have liked to avenge that Texas Tech loss. The Texas A&M loss, so you could have actually beaten every team in the league. You would have liked to take down Oklahoma again. You would have liked to maybe beat Kansas or Texas somewhere along the way. And then you would have had a two seed up there in the tournament. You would have been playing in Kansas City, but... That being said, those guys went to Oklahoma City, took care of everything that was presented to them, and they got to cut down some nets. And we got a banner that's going up in Mizzou Arena next fall. I mean, it could not have gone in actuality any better. Yeah, pie in the sky stuff could have, woulda, coulda, shoulda. But those guys went down there to Oklahoma City and did what a lot of people never thought they could have done, and that's won a Big 12 championship.
Right. I mean, teams win conference tournaments. Mississippi State just won the SEC tournament. It happens for a lot of teams, and it seems to always happen when you don't expect it. But it's just one more feather in the cap for this team. I mean, 3-4 months ago, we were just hoping maybe to sneak into the NCAA tournament with an 11 seed or something, and now... Mm-hmm. The team's welcomed back by 500 people. And I apologize, my cat is going crazy again. It's been a couple.
I've got a dog that might be chiming in at some point.
it's been a couple podcasts since it was this volume. Anyway, So we 500 people are awaiting their arrival at Mizzou Arena when they're flying back from Oklahoma City, and it's just, it's just one more connection to make with the fans this year. This was the big feel-good year. I mean, you think about 2007 in football, that was – it was exciting. It was unexpected when we got to number one. But that had, number one rankings involved and things like that. This whole season has just been about it's just been kind of about feeling good. It's just been a very gratifying time to be a Missouri Tiger fan. And that continued over the weekend.
Yeah. It seems like, every time these guys achieved something and they went out and achieved something more that you didn't expect them to achieve, and they did it in such a workmanlike fashion, and they did it with always a smile on their face. It's such an enjoyable style of basketball to watch when it works. When it doesn't work, maybe not so much, but that only happened six times this year.
Yeah.
So nothing really to complain about there. And just the smiles on the guys' faces. 12 months ago, this team was a team that was falling apart at the seams, and it's remarkable to me that, yes, an infusion of new blood and the extraction of some other elements that were on that basketball team last year, and those four key guys, Mike Jr., Matt Lawrence, Damari, and Leo, completely as the the pillars on this basketball team. It's just been a remarkable transformation.
Yeah, and what's funny is, I mean, barring our run through like the final four to the final four or something, my memories of this team are going to be like personal things like, well, like halfway through the second half of the Kansas game, they come back from a TV timeout. I guess it's a free throw or something. And Kimmy English is on camera. He's singing along to "Let Me Clear My Throat" on the Jumbotron. And, you know, Zaire Taylor is talking to the fans, trying to convince the fans to make a sign with his name on it before the Kansas game. And just, you know, the little things like that where they just – maybe it's because we were starved for likable players. Maybe that's why we appreciate it more.
Probably. Before the season started, the basketball program asked Jet and myself, my co-host, on our radio show, to coach one of the two teams in the black and gold game. And I say coach with the finger quotes around it. I mean, we had Coach Zimmerman actually calling the X's and O's during the basketball game, but it was us against the guys from KMIZ, and we had the gold team. And such a great bunch of kids. I mean, just getting to know guys like Kim English, who all he wants to do is go out and win a national championship. We kind of laughed him off at the time, but these guys are six wins away from actually doing it. And even though our team in the black and gold game got spanked by 36 points, I tend to bury the specifics of that. From that day on, I personally have had a connection with that team. And I know it was a sort of a slow building with a lot of the fans trickling into Mizzou Arena. But once they showed up, they came back again just because the team is that enjoyable. And they never lost at home this year.
That is right. And, I mean, you figure with – I don't know who we're playing in non-conference next year, but you figure this streak will last a little while.
Yes, so, you think so.
It's become you know, it's gone from being a mausoleum to a really, really tough place to play. And
that's right.
That's good to see. I guess we should move on to the games that haven't been played yet. The first one being the big game in Boise against the Cornell Big Red. Those of you Rockin' Nation.
Whoever put together the Better Know an Opponent, was that you?
I forget. No, that was. I take no credit for that. I'm not that funny. That was our boy Greg, GHTD36.
You know, Ann Coulter and Bill Nye, the science guy. You have the best, and well, that's a scary dude that works at Fox News, that Aaron Coulter dude. But, you know, obviously a very smart school, very smart basketball players, and it's not your dad's Ivy League basketball school. This is not a Princeton-style basketball team. Sure, they can shoot lights out, but they take really good care of the basketball. They can rebound a little bit. That seven-footer, I liked the whoever called him the poor man's Cole Aldrich.
That was me. I'll take credit for that one.
Yeah, this is a team that can rise up and beat you. Now, what's going to happen is they're going to have to play unbelievably, and Mizzou's going to have a half of basketball like we've seen them have in those games where they've just looked awful in the first half, and there's a lid on the basket. It's going to have to be one of those kind of games. And that's not to say it can't happen, but, you know, you play this game 10 times, that maybe happens once, maybe twice out of those 10 times.
Yeah, and I think you know, what reassures me, because, I mean, now's where the paranoia usually starts to set in here.
Yeah.
And what reassures me, you know, above all else, is simply that, you know, despite the fact that until this year, Missouri style hasn't really clicked in the Big 12, you know, the only mid-major team they've lost to in Mike Anderson's three seasons is Xavier this year. And, you know, if you're a four seed in the NCAA tournament, you're not a mid-major. So they haven't lost these games, the Belmont style games that would trip Quinn's team up, or even, you know, Norm lost to little schools. They haven't done that yet, and, you know, maybe they're just saving it up for losing at a really good time here.
Yeah.
But you know, that's reassuring. It's that even when things are clicking, they overwhelm you with this style, and no matter how many shots they're making, 10 minutes left in the game, you're dead, and you're dragging along. Cornell can definitely win this game. When you think about just the components they do have, they have the components you want for an upset. They've got the no conscience 3-point shooter in Ryan Whitman, the 6'6" junior. They've got the poor man's Cole Aldrich and Jeff Foote, who is way bigger than I assume most people he played against in the Ivy League, and doesn't average many fouls. Has a couple assists, a couple of blocks a game. He seems pretty rock solid. Clearly, none of us have ever actually seen Cornell play. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those two guys, the guy Lewis Dale, they talk about the point guard, who's been hurt this year after being Ivy League Player of the Year last year. Maybe he's not 100%, but he's still averaging, you know, 4 rebounds, 4 assists a game. And then they've got they've got like 78 guys they dress out, and I mean, none of them are going to be too good after the starters and everything. But I mean, they do seem like a team that's well put together. I'm just glad we're not playing North Dakota State, because then I actually probably would talk myself into being worried. But this is a decent team. Missouri will have to show up and make some shots.
Here's the thing that I'm worried about: if the game happens to be close, and if they do sub in those other guys that are on the bench who just happen to have an unbelievable, maybe they wear their lucky underwear that day, I don't know, whatever, and they just start bombing away from three, you know, a dumb pass by Miguel Paul or Marcus Denman, and then they just start hitting transition three after transition three, and I guarantee you, everybody who's going to be in the building who is not wearing black and gold always cheers for the upset. And so a team like Cornell can really get the goodwill of the crowd on their side. Mizzou becomes the big bad guy in that situation when the David starts to get the rock in the sling and starts slinging up three pointers. I mean, that's when a game like this can get away from you. So if you're Mizzou, as it has been all season long, when you have the opportunity to stomp on the neck, you take it.
Yeah, I was complaining during Big 12 tournament that we never actually got to be the underdog. We went straight from not mattering at all to being the favorite. And so, you know, during the Big 12 tournament, you know, when we were playing all three teams, Texas Tech and then Oklahoma State and then Baylor, the announcers were almost openly rooting for our opponent because they were the underdog, and that's what you do in the postseason. And I'm sure it'll be the exact same way. We don't have Gus Johnson calling the game, thankfully. But, I mean, Bowler Jack and whatever the other guy's name is, they'll be playing favorites, and that's what they're supposed to do, because you know most of the people watching on TV not from Missouri are rooting for Cornell as well.
That's what's great about the tournament, is the upset. Of course, you don't want to see it happen to you.
Exactly. We've lost the 3-14 game before against Northern Iowa back in the, I think that was what, 1990. Yeah. We've been there before. We don't need to be there again. We just need to, you know, Kansas can go ahead and take the 3-14 hit. They've done it before, I think. But I assume this is going to be, in the end, the odds favor just a simple, methodical, you know, 14, 16, 18, 20 point win. That's probably what's going to happen. But yeah, until it actually does, there's going to be that little anxiety of the only way anybody's going to remember this game is if we lose it.
That's right.
So, assuming for a second that Missouri does win, who do you see them playing in the second round? Do you think Utah State can pull an upset over Marquette, or is it all about Missouri Marquette?
I think right now it's all about Missouri and Marquette, but, you know, that's a Utah State team that poses a lot of problems for Marquette. Now, Marquette lost Dominic James, but and the storyline in going into this game, you're going to hear it nine times if Mizzou plays them, that they lost five out of their six last games, but it was UConn, at Louisville, Pitt, Syracuse, Villanova. Those are all top 15 teams. And this is a team in Jarrell McNeil and Wesley Matthews. That's a great point guard tandem. They get after you on defense, and that's a team that can absolutely beat you. You know, if the Mizzou wins 9 out of 10, if Mizzou plays Marquette, we maybe win 6 out of 10. I mean, it's that close. I think Marquette gets by Utah State, although, you know, that's a tough game for Marquette, too. They're going to have to regain some of the swagger that they had in that unbelievable early run.
Yeah, everybody was making a lot out of the, you know, Marquette's lost whatever it was, 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6 since they lost James. But, you know, the teams they lost to in that span.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They might have lost 5 out of 6 with James. Just, I mean, the schedule got much, much harder for them all of a sudden. And I mean, they started playing well. I mean, well, you know, even then they lost at Louisville by, I think, 4 points without James. They lost, to Villanova on a buzzer beater in the Big East tournament. They're a good team. Their sixth seed might be about right for them. Mm-hmm. And I hope we turn the tables on them going back to the 3-6 matchup from 2003. But yeah, this is a team that is going to be solid. We seem to match up well with Marquette in the sense that they don't have a lot of size. And it seems like, you know, they've got the crazy guards that you need to beat Missouri, but then they don't really have the banger who can push Lyons and Damari away from the paint. And Missouri will have the size advantage, and they seem to do pretty well when they have the size advantage.
But, yeah, it seems like that's a team, too, in Marquette that just goes crazy from three, where Utah State has a little bit more – of they want to get you into half court and really start to bang it down low. They got some size. They can rebound. I think that's an interesting matchup there, and I think the Missouri coaching staff is going to have an interesting turnaround if we do get by Cornell and figuring out what style of basketball you're going to have to play. I think both of those teams are the kind of teams you can get up and down on, but obviously Marquette and Utah State both pose different kinds of matchups.
I'm a little nervous because assuming we beat Cornell, which, you know, all disclaimers, applicable disclaimers there, but
let's throw the anti-jinxes in there.
Exactly. I've been telling friends for a while that Missouri's built to be a great second round tournament team because, you know, Cornell has 4 days to prepare, but then Marquette or Utah State will have 1 day. Right. And it's a lot harder to prepare for this style, especially if you're playing Utah State, for instance, who is just about the slowest team in the country. Who, I mean, they just move the ball, and end up with an open shot. You have to play 25, 30 seconds of defense, and then to turn around and have 1 day to prepare for Missouri. I think that plays into their hands pretty well. It's just I'm never going to be confident enough to say straight up, yeah, we've got this game.
we're hoping for a battle. Yeah. In that Marquette Utah State game,
exactly,
and you know that's the model will hold true. You know, stay close at half and then run them out of the gym in the second half.
Yeah, and hopefully I assume that will work for Cornell. Hopefully, it'll work for Marquette or Utah State or whoever. So moving on to the West, the rest of the West, I should say, outside of the Missouri Marquette Cornell Utah State quadrant. I mean, you have to assume that, you know, UConn's coming out of that top one, barring some 8-9, you know, upset in there. And I'm not really impressed with any of the teams in Memphis's quadrant, so I'm going to assume that UConn and Memphis move on. What about that? Go ahead.
A team like Maryland, I think, has a chance if they get that great guard play. And, you know, I haven't been all that impressed with Memphis. And saying that, of course, that watch them roll all the way to the Final Four. Which is actually, in fact, what I have them doing in my bracket. Now that I said something dumb there. you know, that's the thing about the tournament. You know, it's so sketchy. Those teams that you think are going to do well, the UConns, the North Carolinas, Memphis, Louisville, they can absolutely stumble someplace along the way if there's a heroic thing. But yes, that's what we're talking about right now is projections. And, you know, as far as the chalk goes, I expect 1 and 2 to at least make it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I'm trying to reverse jinx them here. So, yeah, Memphis is definitely going.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. Well, the more interesting little section is the Portland section. The 4-13 is Washington, Mississippi State, and the 5-12 is Purdue, Northern Iowa. I wasn't impressed with Northern Iowa when I saw them in the Missouri Valley. I just wasn't impressed with the Missouri Valley this year. But there's just something, you know, it's Missouri Valley and it's the NCAA tournament. You just assume that's going to be tough, especially in the 5-12 game since 12 seem to always win.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
Yeah, there's in the Big Ten, I always pick against the Big Ten, except for one team. And for whatever reason this year, that Purdue Boilermaker team is the team that I think their style of play translates as good as anybody's to the format of the tournament. So I got them beating Northern Iowa, but that's one of those coin flip games. And, you know, that's just the only Big Ten team that I jumped on for no other reason than I like their style of play.
Yeah. And I think I picked the three other 12. So I had to pick at least 1-5. So I went with Purdue.
Wow.
I picked Western Kentucky over Illinois.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, I changed my mind when I realized everybody was picking it. That's always a big red flag.
Yeah.
But, Wisconsin over Florida State and Arizona over Utah. You know, whatever. I'm horrible at these things.
It's a stab in the dark.
Yes. And so, yeah, Purdue's got a good, I think they match up just fine with Northern Iowa. I don't see them struggling just a ton. Washington, Mississippi State's interesting simply because Mississippi State is the four, you know, they won 4 games in 4 days or whatever. The teams that do that more often than not seem to crap out. They seem to get a bunch of hype for being, you know, they've got lots of momentum and all that. And they really seem to have, you know, emptied the tank the week before. And so we'll see. They've got a really good shot blocker. So, I mean, they'll be able to match up pretty well with John Brockman. But after that, I just got to figure Washington superior at every position. Not that that matters in the tournament.
And, you know, everybody tends to bag on the Pac-10, or you just forget about them because they're way out there. You never watch their games because they don't start at midnight. But Washington, I think, is going to win a couple of games. I've got them going to the Sweet 16, getting by Purdue in the second round. And Isaiah Thomas is a really good player out there. And if not that Isaiah Thomas, if you're a member of the New York Knicks staff, please don't try and sue him. He's just a good college basketball player right now.
Yeah, I think – I can't remember who it was. Somebody picked Purdue to actually go to the Elite Eight against Missouri and beat Missouri.
Yeah, gutsy.
That came out today, and all I was thinking was, if we beat Memphis and then lose to Purdue, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. I mean, it gets you back to – I mean, what's a disappointment? What's
– Yeah.
You know, what would you be disappointed with in this tournament for the University of Missouri? I'm asking you, Bill. What would you be disappointed with in this tournament?
Well, momentarily disappointed, definitely, clearly first round. I would, yes. You know, that would be a big disappointment. Second round would be really, really annoying just because we lost to Marquette last time we were there too. And, you know, we didn't live up to our seed. I think in the end, being that I still, you know, you look back on like the 1990 season where Missouri crumbled, lost to Colorado in the Big 8 tournament, lost to Northern Iowa in the tournament. That was still an amazing season. They beat Kansas twice to go to number one. I think 5-10 years from now, I will already think that this was an amazing season. But short term, Sweet 16 needs to happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there will be a twinge. There will be some bitterness there just because we had the chance. We talked ourselves into thinking we matched up pretty well with Memphis and we didn't get there. So
I think as young and inexperienced in postseason play as this team is, a win over Cornell and everything else is gravy.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's obviously in the moment, like you said, losing to Marquette would suck. It would be awful. Losing to Memphis, especially if it's a close game, if they get blown out by Memphis or whoever they would end up playing in the Sweet 16, yes, it would suck. But, you know, like you said, given a little bit of distance, a win over Cornell – and for me, as a fan, everything else is green.
Yeah, I think down the line, yeah, by the beginning of next season, because think about it, if we beat Cornell, lose to Marquette, we will have gone 29-7.
Yeah, that's the most wins in time, the most wins in school history.
Yeah, so down the line, it will be very hard to be bitter about anything aside from maybe a Cornell loss. So, but short term, yeah, just live up to the seed, play well against Memphis and lose. I think most Missouri fans would be satisfied by that. Of course, I want to beat Memphis. I want to, I want to go to the friggin' Final Four. But I understand that the odds of that aren't particularly amazing. So
I want them to win 30 games. Yeah. I want them to win 34 games. I want them to not lose again. Yes, I want them to win the NCAAs. And this team is good enough to do exactly that. They can go on an unbelievable run, play the style of basketball that none of these other teams are ready to play, get some great defense on the perimeter from JT and Zaire, great play off the bench from Vroom Vroom Party Starter and everybody else. I mean, this is a team that is good enough to beat any one of the 63 teams now that we've played the play-in game,
right.
Any of the other 63 teams in this field. Now, will they? Probably not.
Well, they're 28-6. That's basically a loss once every six games.
Yeah.
So that tells you that sometime in the next six games, we're going to lose. But it's going to be fantastic. We've already done things, maybe not necessarily things that Missouri basketball has never done before, other than the win total. But, you know, we cheated. We had an extra regular season game in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, maybe they haven't broken new ground. They've just gotten back to that stage. And that's the story of the 08-09 season is they're back. They're a three seed in the tournament. They've won the fans back. We sold out the last few games. Missouri basketball is back, and that's awesome to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, Missouri aside, I assume you're not picking Missouri to win the West, although if you do, I'll commend you greatly for it. Who's your West winner?
I have Memphis winning the West, so that tells you where I have Missouri going out.
I think actually,
maybe that's my anti-jinx.
Yeah, I think I actually have Memphis win it all just to make sure that jinx takes place and they lose to Maryland in the second round.
Right. Yeah, I've got Memphis losing to Louisville in the Final Four, but maybe that I need to go back and revisit that.
Yeah, cool. I'm really struggling. I have to just not revisit my bracket anymore because at this point I've talked myself out of every team.
Sure.
And that always happens.
You have to, you know, when you first do your bracket, you do it mostly on gut, right?
Yeah.
I like to save that bracket and then look at it after the one, you know, once that first game starts playing and compare the two after the whole, after everything is done. And just about invariably, my first one was better than my last one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, tests in college. Every time I change my mind about a pick, it's wrong. I changed it from the right answer. So real quickly here, that's the West. It sounds like we're both picking Memphis there. What about the Midwest, Louisville's region? I'm trying to remember who I picked. I think I ended up with an awful chalk. No. I had Louisville over West Virginia in the Elite Eight in this one.
That's exactly what I have, too. I've got in the Sweet 16, Louisville and, over Wake Forest and West Virginia beating Southern Cal, who knocked off Michigan State in an upset. But I got Louisville moving on to the Final Four over West Virginia.
Yeah, I have West Virginia over Michigan State in the Sweet 16 in a game I will absolutely not watch.
Right. It's so hard because Bob Huggins is one of those just demonic characters in the landscape of college basketball, and he hides it with the yellow suits. But come on, the man's a slug, but he, you know, his teams, pit snoggle or no pit snoggle, do well in the tournament.
Yeah, I really do. I enjoy watching Bob Huggins' teams, and that was one of the things that really had me conflicted when all the rumors, you know, Quinn was fired, everybody was hopping on the Bob Huggins bandwagon. This was like 2 months after everybody hopped on the Gary Barnett bandwagon,
right?
Which it was just blowing my mind. And actually those 2 months led to the creation of Mizzou Sanity, our old blog, which led to us being part of Rock M Nation. So I guess I should thank everybody for that.
Yes, but thank you, Bob Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Bob Huggins, for being
a rumor. And your Brinks trucks loads of money.
Yeah, and so I don't really like Bob Huggins, but I really do enjoy his teams. Like, they take that physical style and they make it fun. But, all right, so we both have Louisville, West Virginia. You're picking Louisville?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Eastern region, Pitt's the one, Duke's the two. Does Duke make it beyond the second round this year?
I have them beating Texas and losing to Villanova in the Sweet 16.
Once I had them losing to Villanova in the Sweet 16, I changed it and had Texas beating Duke.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a Texas team that is so schizophrenic. I mean, what team shows up? I mean, is it a good A.J. Abrams team? Is it Dexter Pittman going absolutely nuts on the inside? Are they getting good games out of James? I mean, that's a team that can lose to Minnesota by 30, or they can beat Duke by 30.
Oh, God, yes.
Let's say three.
Yeah, not 30. It's a really interesting team. You know, they really are. I think we've said this before. They're half a slug it out, win 60-55 team, and they're a half run the other team out of the building team. And they really just seem to have an identity crisis all year. But you just look at the talent on paper. They've got Abrams and James and Pittman and Balbe. You know, you'd have to hold a gun to his head to make him shoot the ball, but he's still really quick and a better point guard than they had earlier in the year. They seem to have options. And granted, I picked them because I was already picking Duke to lose in the next round, so I tried to squeeze in an upset there. But they're an interesting team.
Say what you will about Duke, they play really sound defense. Yeah. And I think they play good enough defense to really cause Texas and the ball handlers for Texas fits.
Yeah,
and, you know, they've got this kind of size to go right at the basket, attack the basket, and maybe get Dexter Pittman in foul trouble early. And I think that's enough to push Duke over. Now, Duke might not make it past Binghamton in the first round. So, you
know, that would make Tony Kornheiser very happy.
Yeah, I think they probably will. But, I see Texas bowing out relatively soon. But, yeah, Villanova, I have actually Villanova beating Pittsburgh to go to the Final Four. That Villanova is the team that I decided to, strap myself on just like a big old rocket. And that's my team to go to the Final Four.
Yeah, I like it. I hate it because, actually, you know, I drew out the bracket. I've complained that the Big East is getting a little too much respect this year, and then I had like six Big East teams in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And so I had to kind of scale that back a little bit. But Villanova I like a lot. I'm really, really conflicted on the VCU game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really seems like at this point everybody's picking VCU, and that's usually, again, a big red flag to not pick that game.
You know, UCLA, what is it, three straight Final Fours or two straight Final Fours?
I think three.
Three straight Final Fours. And to have them losing in that first game, I just don't see it. But, yeah, this is a different kind of UCLA team, and they could get up into that first round. It just seems like everybody's picking that And it's never smart, at least it hasn't been for the last 3 years, to pick against UCLA.
Yeah, and I think they'll use the motivation of everybody's picking Virginia Commonwealth. We're freaking UCLA.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think they will get past that. Of course, then we both have them losing in the second round. So you have Villanova, I have Pitt. That leaves the South region, the grossest region of any of the four to me. So we got UNC at the one, but they're without Ty Lawson for at least the first game, maybe the first two. You got OU at the two seed riding a big slump. You got Syracuse riding a big, you know, one hot weekend to a three seed. Who do you have coming out of this?
Well, this is the bracket that I'm going to be working on a lot today because I'm not happy with it. You know, the news about Ty Lawson is obviously huge. Now, they're not going to need him against Radford. They're going to need him against Butler or LSU. Probably, yeah. I've got Butler there. You know, if he is healthy, then Carolina can obviously make it all the way to Detroit. If he is not healthy, then yeah, a team like Gonzaga can upset him in the Sweet 16. A team like Syracuse, if they are hot, even Arizona State. I think Arizona State might beat Syracuse, even though I have Syracuse winning that one. Now, the team that we all like to write off nowadays is Oklahoma. And Oklahoma, you know, I think Coach Capel, we're going to find out exactly how much of Coach Krzyzewski he has in him.
Yeah.
Because what we've seen out of them the last 3 weeks is night and day what we saw out of them the first 3 months of the season. And Oklahoma is a much, much better basketball team, most especially with the guard play.
Yeah.
Those guys, Willie Warren and Austin Johnson, have to figure it out. And Coach Capel, I mean, this is on him. If he doesn't get those guys to play, this is on him. That team has absolutely folded with the most talented player in the country almost by a mile in Blake Griffin. You know, that's a team that should absolutely make it to the Sweet 16, probably to the round of eight. But if they show up and play like they played, you know, against Oklahoma State, then no, they're not going to get past a team like Clemson.
Yeah, I want to give them some credit because, you know, Blake Griffin comes back. They struggle for a while against Texas Tech, but then they end up putting them away and winning easily. Then they lose at Mizzou Arena, and everybody else did too. They, you know, they beat OSU at home by only four. You know, that just seemed like, again, they were in control of, they just couldn't put OSU away completely. And then they turn around and they had to play OSU again, and they lost, you know, beating a rival three times in one season is hard. I want to give them a lot of credit here. I have them making the Sweet 16. But I mean, yeah, they're going to face a battle from either Clemson or from a John Beilein's Michigan team, who, you know, John Beilein has a lot of tourney success in his back pocket.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to be a tough game, but I'm going to give them some credit and have them go into the Sweet 16. Of course, then I might as well have them go into the Elite Eight because I don't really like Arizona State, and I have them going to the Elite Eight right now.
Now, you know, Oklahoma, if Oklahoma's going to go on a run, Blake Griffin's going to have to shoot more than nine times.
Yeah.
Which, you know, should be a fireable offense. I mean, if those point guards are not passing Blake Griffin the ball on just about every possession, I'm sorry, I'm taking away your scholarship.
Yeah.
Sorry, Austin Johnson, you're going to have to go work at the library school. You're going to have to do something else with your life because you're not going to have a basketball scholarship anymore. You've got a Maserati outside and you decide to ride the tricycle out of the garage. I mean, it's ridiculous that you've got a kid like Blake Griffin. He shoots the ball nine times.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, Missouri fans in the early part of this decade, this is the complaint that Arthur Johnson didn't get enough shots, times like five.
Right.
Because, I mean, AJ was just like an F-150, using your Maserati example. And, you know, AJ was a very good performer, but he wasn't Blake Griffin. And,
right.
Yeah, the offense, if the offense runs through Griffin, somebody gets an easy shot, either Griffin or his brother or an open three-pointer. And they've gotten away from that. You know, Willie Warren, you know, got benched for a little while, and who knows what the situation is there. But I mean, just hopefully from a go Big 12 perspective, hopefully they use this slump as a chance to just kind of reassess things and go back to what was working for them so well earlier in the season before Griffin got the most minor, the most random concussion I've ever seen in my life. I still don't really know which. I didn't know you can get a cumulative concussion over after like three hits, but whatever. That's neither here nor there.
So I remember Trent Green was on the sidelines for the Mizzou Oklahoma game. I thought that was some sort of a cruel concussion by Trent Green.
Yeah, we paid for his ticket so he could send that message. So who do you have coming out of the South then?
I have North Carolina.
But again,
like I said, this is something I'm probably going to have to revisit. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Gonzaga because they've been sort of one of those, hey, I'm going to be crazy and different and pick Gonzaga. This is a great basketball team out there. They have much better athletes than they had for the first couple of teams that Mark Few took out there on the road in those great seasons almost 10 years ago. They've been doing this for almost 10 years, and the success has really paid off. They've got a lot better athletes, and they play a great style of basketball at Gonzaga. I think they could make a run all the way to the Final Four this year.
It's funny because I picked North Carolina too, and I hated it. And I've looked for another team in that region to pick, and I just can't. I can't pick Oklahoma. Can't pick Syracuse or Arizona State. Can't pick Illinois, LSU, Butler. Gonzaga is the wild card because I mean they seem to they have the rep now at this point that if they're a lower seed they overachieve, but if they're a higher seed they underachieve. And I just can't really make anything of them. I think the fact that they lost a couple games earlier, they've been kind of off people's radar screen. I think that's right where they want to be. I think this is going to be their best tourney performance in a while, and that they have the bodies to go against North Carolina if they end up playing each other in the Sweet 16.
I think North Carolina probably will come out of this. Syracuse, if they go on another kind of run, they could do it too. Could be Oklahoma. If they wake up, if Coach Capel does what he's supposed to do, they are a two seed. They might deserve it, but regardless of what happens with all of these picks that we've been talking about here on the podcast, I hope that once you post it, you have a giant delete button right next to it. So as soon as the games start, you can delete it so we have no sort of we have plausible deniability about how ridiculous our picks were, because they're going to look silly regardless of what we say. They're going to look silly come the end of the weekend.
Well, we being that I didn't delete last week's Big 12 tournament podcast with Greg with GHTV36, I can't really. That one was the most. That was a debacle 24 hours later when when Tech beat A&M and everything happened, and Baylor beat Kansas after we said there's no way in hell Baylor will beat Kansas even if they beat Nebraska. So, yeah, if that one's still up, I really, that's the precedent. So we're out of luck on this one.
We need to sick the Rock M Nation team of scientists and create a way back podcast machine to have some revisionist history in the podcasting.
Well, I can go back, change the link to one where we pick exactly who made the Final Four to go to the Final Four.
That's right.
We'll have to. Yeah, we'll secretly record another one of these in a couple weeks.
Very good. I'll be there.
All right, so the Final Four, you've got what? Louisville, Memphis, Villanova, North Carolina, is that right?
Yep.
So who do you have from there?
Louisville and North Carolina. But like I said, that North Carolina is probably going to change. But, I think this Rick Pitino team is set up to go. I think they are talented, and they fought that way all the way through the Big East. And, yeah, it's Big East, blah, 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 blah. But I think this Rick Pitino team, he's got the experience. He's got the players that he needs to go on a serious run and cut down the nets in Detroit. I hope it's going to be the Missouri Tigers.
Well, of course. I think Louisville as a whole, Ken Pomeroy, I'm a stat nerd, so I love Ken Pomeroy. Yeah. He has Louisville as one of the more overrated teams in the country just because they've won a lot of close games. They haven't really distinguished themselves like like the number one overall seed necessarily should. But I just don't know who else to pick. And so it comes down to I have Louisville, Memphis. I'm picking Louisville. I've got Pitt, North Carolina. Jeez, I picked 3 1 seeds. That can't be right. I hate 1 seeds. Well, okay. Anyway,
would have worked last year.
Yeah, exactly. I think I had Louisville, Pitt in the finals, and I of those two, I think Louisville's more championship caliber than Pitt. I don't want to ever play Pitt because I think they are the exact type of team that could beat us easily. But I still think Louisville's probably the team. I end up having Louisville, and I hate it.
Well, good. Maybe that's the anti-jinx the Missouri Tigers need.
Awesome. So so there you go. There's your expert tourney analysis that's going to be proven wrong when Louisville loses to Morehead State on Friday.
There's a reason that they're offering a $100 million prize for a perfect bracket. It's because no one can do it. It's impossible to do this. So yes, it's fun to look at the matchups. It's why this time of year is the most fun. I love the next 4 days. Plop yourself in front of the TV. And, it, you know, I'm lucky because I get to do it for work. You know, I can do it at work. They don't mind if I go into the conference room and turn on the big screen TV. But it's the best 4 days of the year. And it's just that much extra special that the Missouri Tigers are taking apart.
Yeah,
we expect to go on a run.
All I know is my mom has won more of my pools than I have. So, I mean, I always remind myself of that when I'm thinking too much about my bracket.
And then Thanksgiving is never fun.
No, seriously. So I guess we should wrap it up here. We're getting actually pretty close to 40 minutes.
And how about that?
I know. I don't think anybody's going to consider it fast, but, you know, whatever. I did. So I guess I should let you pimp your show here. Not that anybody who reads Rock'em Nation doesn't listen to the closers, but why don't you give a little plug here?
Well, sure. Thank you very much. It's KFRU 1400 AM, and you can also listen to it every weekday on KFRU.com if you like it that way. It's our little monkey sports show from 4 to 6 o'clock, and we just talk a lot about Mizzou.
That's all anybody needs to know.
That's
why,
right.
Why wouldn't you tune in? All right. Well, you got to pick you should be very flattered. We're not going out to Brass Bonanza. You got to pick the going out music here.
Well, I've got many favorite songs when it comes time for the big dance, but why not go out with something a little bit fast? Arctic Monkeys, I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor.
And here's to hoping Missouri looks good on the dance floor. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Spencer.
You got it. Thanks, Bill.